So, whoops, except I can't mute myself when I'm talking to you, right? Okay, so getting both switchboards going so that we can tap into audiences in different places. We're glad we have this technology. It is a learning curve for us, but we're getting there. And so Michael's with us now, so I'm going to just say welcome, Michael. You're muted. You are muted.
Excuse me, mute challenge. So thank you, dear heart. I'm here, and welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. Glad we get to move forward with the conversation, and G's got a question for us before we get into the Kubler's manuscript, Enlightenment book.
Okay, so she says, let me flip back to her text. She has, as soon as she saw it on the website that you were going to be in Florida, she booked a flight and has registered for the 3 days that you're down there. And says, I was up until 1 o'clock last night, or this morning, reading and reading and reading on the ego and forgiveness in the Course in Miracles. So I have two assignments, two papers that I have to do this morning, and it's going to do the evaluation. And I want to ask more about the Mind Goal Management Sheet and how you use this.
Okay, well, I wonder if it sounds like perhaps she has been using the sheet, and so there's some specific questions. So maybe we want to wait until we have her on the phone and we get into questions on the Mind Goal Management Sheet. It's a worksheet, for anybody who doesn't know what it is. It's a worksheet that we use in the Getting the Stress You Need workshop. And looking at the fact that the mind, through your genetics, tends to have literally, who knows what kind of number you can put on, millions, maybe billions of unresolved goals. And people tend to live in a world where life comes along and resonates something for them, and whatever's going on, out of genes, out of carbon-based memory, tends to formulate into goals and drive behavior, which would be kind of a purposeless life. Just fulfilling energetic patterns from the past isn't ever really going to be. Management sheet is about strengthening higher faculties of being, which is a faculty of will, and how to exercise and develop that faculty of will to bring it online so that we can manage our minds directly. So that's a sheet that we teach in the both in Laws of Living and in the Getting the Stress You Need. But I'm thinking that, seeing as how we haven't laid a foundation for this, perhaps we wait until she's available to do some questions one-on-one. Unless she happens to be on the show, and we can go with the question.
I just looked, and she is not, but I just got a text from someone and said, how do we find out about your Florida trip? So if you go to our website, ygen.org, and click on like the monthly membership and Buddha development, all that. If you go on down there, you'll see a picture of Michael, and it says Live Events, Sarasota, Florida. If you click on Learn More, there is all of the information. You can download the flyer. He's going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that is May the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
May, first weekend.
And so all the information is there, and you can download the flyer.
We're going to be in Sarasota, and on Friday night we're going to do a free and open Wise is Happening to Me Again workshop. Saturday we're doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, and Sunday afternoon doing Codependence to Interdependence. And it's a medical center down there, Rejuvenation, I believe it's called. Gentleman has been doing my work for the last 30-some years. And do you recall what John's center is called to be? I don't have the flyer in front of me.
I actually do. Hold on, let me get it out. It is Advanced Rejuvenation.
Rejuvenation, that's it.
Advanced Rejuvenation, and it's on Northeast Avenue in Sarasota, Florida.
And Dr. Jean Laurence does a really wide array of some pretty cutting-edge stuff. You might recall the last time I was down visiting with him in Sarasota, I shared how I sat in on a procedure where he takes a needle, it's about a foot long, costs, if I remember correctly, it was $1,800 for the needle. You only use it once. And you actually puncture into the hip, through the hip bone, collect from inside the hip bone stem cells, take them up, put them in a centrifuge, get them ready, and then using another piece of technology, looking at exactly where injuries are, say, for instance, in a joint. This one was, if I remember correctly, was a shoulder joint. And so using ultrasound to see exactly where the joint was damaged, then taking those stem cells and putting them right into the joint where they rebuild the joint. Some pretty amazing technology that Dr. John Ross is using. So, and he's been doing the forgiveness work for a number of years. And I've spoken at his facility a couple times over the years. And he asked if we'd come down and do another series. So that's what we'll be doing the first weekend in May. So come and play.
And actually, you'll be doing that.
You need to do it. Right, I'll be doing that. Ginny will be coming back and taking care of our Irene.
Yeah, the other set of grandparents are also gone that next week, so it is up to me.
Yeah. Then I'll be flying in the following Saturday so that Ginny can leave. Well, actually, we're going to do our Irene's recital, and then Ginny will be heading out for a week's vacation with a friend of hers. She's going to Florida to hang out near the beach. So, and I get to stay in Bristol and tend the garden. Hey, how cool is that? So do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room, sweetie?
It's all quiet. We've got a couple of people on Podbean in the listener section and chat room. And then we've got a bunch of people on Switchboard today, but there are no hands up. So I would say go for the enlightenment.
Okay. Unless somebody has a question for us on that, we've been getting into some issues the last few days.
A hand just went up. And I think it is Mr. Terry Bowling, 336. You're on the air.
Hello, folks.
Welcome, sir. Hey there.
All right.
How do you be?
I be real well. the doctor did say I had a torn bicep yesterday. So I don't know what to do about that or what you do with a torn bicep. But they're going to send me to another guy who's going to hopefully refer me to some type of physical therapy and do some kind of scan, test, all that. See if they'll need to do surgery, which I prefer not to, at all possible. I don't understand why they have to do surgery, but I don't understand a tear muscle either. So that's one of my big issues. But what I wanted to care about was that for the last 2.5 hours, I've been going through this process of trying to get a turn signal bulb replaced on my truck. Okay, and I thought...
Two and a half hours?
Yeah, 2.5 hours. Started at the Dodge dealership. It was an aftermarket housing that had been put into the truck, so they don't even handle it. They said, but if you go to the auto zone and get a bulb, we'll put it in for you. I went to the auto place, and they said, well, it's not that easy. You'll have to pull over to the mechanic over there, and if he can get us a bulb description, we'll do that. So I did, and I went over there, and then I went from there back, and I walked across the street from the mechanic to the parts place, to the mechanic to the parts place, and the mechanic to the parts place, three different bulbs, and they finally said, well, we're going to strike out here. It's an aftermarket LED. And then the one guy did finally determine it was an order online only product, and whoever put it in there was a bit of a backyard mechanic guy. But then the mechanic, he says, well, let's try this other little method. And he slipped a conventional bulb in, which would work, but he didn't have an amber one because it's for the turn signal. So then I go back to the advanced auto. They didn't carry them up across to the auto zone. They did have them. And I came back. So that was the process, and the mechanics didn't charge me anything. And the bulb cost me $9.97.
So what did that bring up for you, Terry?
Say that again. Oh, actually, what it's bringing up for me is appreciation and joy and wonder and awareness. And when I came out once, this one young lady came up and says, well, can you help me with something? I said, maybe. I've learned not to automatically say yes to anybody. It's like, well, it depends on what you want. And so she said, will you just watch my brake light and see if it's working? I said, sure, I can do that. So her brake light was fixed. She'd done a self-repair on the brake light and was on her. She says, Jerry, now I can go get my car inspected. So as falling back to the previous question, appreciation, joy, understanding, and I play a game with myself about, how can I connect with each person on a personal level? What can I do to make it a true human connection and to maintain a space of love and presence? So that's what I did. So I got to meet a half a dozen different characters here. Yeah, and a half a dozen different characters and maintained active presence of love, and I consciously canceled goals, well, at least five times, you know, around different things. I kept canceling the goal, and I kept holding space for it to be handled in a good way, and it was resolved, you know, and for $9.97, and it was really a beautiful experience, and so I had to contribute to the foundation that upon using your tools over and over and over and over and over. So that's what I wanted to check in and offer, and it'll be interesting to see what comes up in the reading or what anyone else may have to bring a conversation that was. But I would call it a very successful bulb exchange.
So let me see if I understand correctly. What you're offering, if I'm catching your drift, is that through all that, there was a time when it would not have been quite as holy an encounter?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can chop that one up.
What would that encounter have looked like at another time, Terry?
Frustration, hostility, anger, high blood pressure, sweating on the brow, yelling.
Yeah. Nice to be free of that stuff, eh?
Yeah. And there's nothing so important, you know, in my life. And especially, I don't know if it's just because I'm in the fourth quarter of life, so to speak. But really, there's nothing important enough for me to trade peace and serenity for. I don't always remember that, but I do know how to get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, so it's just Happy Friday.
Probably a good lesson there for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be tending the garden by yourself,
Terry,
this weekend.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry. Lesson received. No, not this weekend, no, but when we come back, we've got a week vacation set up with kids. And then I go to Florida and do the 3-day workshop there. And when I get back here, then Jeannie goes to Florida. So she's going to have the baby, then I'll have the baby, and we'll be spending.
nice, pleasant month of May.
Looking forward to it. Yes. Looking forward to it and recognizing that what's the reason to bring anything else to the occasion other than the fact that something else is inside of us. So good lesson, Terry. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Now, you got a text to select your mind shifter numbers?
Oh, great.
If you send send your numbers back to me, then you'll have your mind shifter for the Still Point Breathing Workshop this weekend. And we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Nice work, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. All right, have a blessed one. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so that raised a question. Someone in Podbean says, okay, if the doctors can't find out what's going on, how can you heal the physical pain? Would it be looking at generational, or how would you know where to target your thought and your work?
Well, my take would be all of the above. You know, if there's an emotional component to what sounds like a physical injury, and, you know, who knows what is behind the physical injury, one could do some worksheets around that to look at, you know, what's going on that I allowed this injury to occur. But all of the above might look like, gee, you know, there's muscles in two pieces, and if it doesn't get to where those muscle fibers are connected with each other, then it's not likely to grow back together properly, so the option might be we're going to do surgery. And so, you know, I assume they'll do an x-ray and look inside, and you know, that you know, thank God we're in a world where we have the miracle of some of the technology that we have. I mean, the other side of the coin is pretty tragic a lot of times, and in fact, you know, as we were talking about on the show the other day, where, you know, the third leading cause of death in America is properly prescribed drugs. Pretty tragic, but on the other side of it, that we have the technology and the genius minds that, gee, this muscle's torn in two, and someone knows how to go in with the least damage and sew it back together so it heals properly. You know, in each case, all of the above is always going to be the answer. You know, it sounds like Terry's pretty peaceful with the injury as it stands. If there was some sort of irritation or anger or anguish going on, then, you know, it'd be a place for worksheets. Otherwise, follow through with what seems to be the medical procedure needed. And be grateful for it. So it would be my input on what to do with that.
And I was just, Louise Hay, and I'll put the link to this. She's, of course, left her body, but she has a website. It's called Alchemy of Healing, and she lists different aspects, different things, you know, and what it could represent mentally. It's a really good site. I agree with a lot of the things that she's got on there. She has... Muscles is resistance to new experiences or represent the ability to move in life, and the arm represents the capacity and ability to hold the experiences of life. So, you know, if those were true or felt like they resonated, then, you know, perhaps doing worksheets on, you know, being able to hold to an experience that you're going through at this moment. Terry's going through a lot of experiences at the moment.
Well, and Terry was just sharing with us a few days ago all of the drama going on in his life around moving. If you recall, we had that conversation just a couple of days ago, moving out of a rented home into another rented home, and then being there just 2 days, and the landlord in the new home saying, "Oh, I'm not sure I want to rent this place." He's about a month, so moving maybe. And it's interesting that Louise Hay comes up with that one. But we hold a space theory that you're settled in your home until you're ready to pick up and create a permanent place of your own. I know that's in the offing, so we'll hold the space for that.
So the question is, why rely on surgery? If I am in Christ, I can heal anything. But, you know, sometimes it's bigger than we are. You know, if it's generational, you know. And like Michael said, it's awesome that doctors do have the knowledge, you know, to make repairs. It's not always the ultimate fix. But do you have anything to add to that?
My take, you know, I've had people who speak in terms of, you know, abilities beyond one's current level of power and ability. Like, you know, gee, I want a glass of water, and I know that with my mind, I know theoretically with my mind, I can pick that glass of water up and get it to my mouth and drink it. But if I sit here and wait till I get the water in my mouth by using my mind, and I know it's possible, I may die of thirst. I have a hand, I reach the hand out, and I take a drink of water. So, is it possible? You're right, yes, definitely. Could that muscle be put back together with my mind and with my inner work? I believe it could. And if I got a surgeon that says, "Hey, I can pop a couple stitches in that and take care of it," I, for one, will be heading for, cancel the thought, if I ever need it, but I'd be heading for the surgeon's office, which I've never needed that in my life, but no. So I think that being realistic is an important part of the process. And if you've demonstrated that you've got the kind of realistic skills that you can take, be a part of an energy system that is meant to be in one piece and it's broken into, such as a torn muscle. If you demonstrated the level of capability where you can put that back together and mend it with your mind, then, you know, more power to you. But if you haven't, then, you know, I know of people, and actually there's a particular fellow I'm thinking of back a few years ago that had some kidney issues, and he decided he just hated doctors, and he was going to fix it himself. And unfortunately, where it would have been a fairly easy fix had he gone the medical route. I mean, you know, there's some awesome doctors out there doing a lot of awesome work. Yes, there are a lot of drugs that are doing a lot of damage too. But in this particular case, this gentleman, if he had, when he first had the signal that he was having trouble with his kidneys, he'd gone and had it looked at and had it taken care of by a medical professional, he'd still be alive today. And he's not. Hasn't been for 3 or 4 years now. And, you know, he decided he could do it, and he was going to do it on his own. And he couldn't, and he didn't, and it cost him his life. So, to me, it's like, let's be practical and real. So that's, there are perspectives, and does that mean I'm not going to put the effort into doing the inner work required? You know, visualization's powerful. There's some powerful tools to use. And sometimes the pragmatic thing is to take the assistance that's needed and in the moment. So, Miss Jeannie, unless you've got somebody else with a hand up or something happening in the chat room.
Well, I hit the wrong button
there.
Yeah. am. I hit the wrong button and almost disconnected myself. So, I think Terry's back on again, so I'm going to turn his speaker on. Terry, did you raise your hand a second time?
Yes, I disconnected myself once. I put myself in and out of the queue twice. So I was like, all right. And thank you. So I really appreciate the question. And I've been pondering that very scenario, that very thought, those very questions myself, because I want to see myself move through this healing without surgery. Okay? I'm all open. And I'm aware there's been some situations in my life where I had to have surgery. I'm not convinced that this is one. And to me, that's the primary factor. Do I really believe that this can be healed without surgery? And the answer for me is yes. Now, we'll see. I've appreciated the Louise Hay words as I've studied her work in the past. And if you've got a chance to send me those things, Jenny, that'd be great. Or just reference where you got them. Or the one book, Heal Your Life, or something like that. But it sounds like this may be a different book.
No, it's actually that one, but I will send them to you.
Okay, great. And so, in visualizing, holding the space, I see no reason in my mind's eye, in my consciousness, or for any thing that would not allow for, if a muscle is torn, which it had broken or stretched loose here, and I could feel where it knotted up, it broke it, ripped at the bicep, and then pulled away and cinched up around my shoulder bone, my socket here. So it's like a knot, you know, and it's reduced my mobility considerably and added a whole different pain experience to my body, a new one. I didn't think that was truly possible, but it is.
And you know, really
but I can also, at the same time, I can see by relaxing, and especially, you know, with the breathing and letting go, that there's no reason that muscle can't relax back into the position that it needs to be in, and then knit itself together. There's no reason that can't happen. Now, I may not be ready to receive and accept that and do that, but I feel pretty confident. And we'll just chalk this one up as a little experiment, and we're going to perform this experiment and see how that unfolds with the breath work and the worksheets. And core, again, is my belief system. I believe it with all my heart that it can be restructured, that my body can restructure itself. And that's in the cards. So, thank you for that extra little piece of support. And that was a good question and a good reminder from the audience and prompting that. And there again, that's why the therapeutic value of one human helping another is without parallel, is that you get to offer me pieces of support that I can't see when I'm lost in my own unconsciousness, you know? And it's just so essential, so essential. That's what I got for that.
Cool. I thought it was interesting that Louise hit the nail on the head with that moving thing. It's like, oh.
Exactly. Dead center.
And,
say that.
And it would probably behoove you to look at, do some searching as to what would create such a tension in the muscle that that much strain on it that would actually pull away. And that's going to probably need to be resolved before the muscle is going to be able to go back into place.
It was fear, and it was centered around financial fear, because that was what was driving my efforts to finish that project so that I could get the check, so that I could cash the check and have the money to do this. So the core was fear, you can almost always distill it down to fear of some form or another. And then the fear was based on some perceived lack of uh, And that, to me, boils down to a lack of trust in the universe, complete trust, and surrender is like, do I believe, you know, what's going on here or not? Do I believe what I believe or not? You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep. And then, should you be able to let go of the tension in the muscle so that it can put itself back in place, then you might want to consult with someone who's worked with tissue damage like that, and chances are that the time period that is going to be need to be immobilized for a time period to be able to do that knitting and repair. And so that might be a reason to have some professional input as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm getting, instructions just to intuitively, I'm helping to massage that muscle back into place. Just gently letting it go lay down, helping it lay down so that it can find its matching component there and knit back up properly and strongly.
Have you done the worksheets around the fear to let the tension in the muscle be removed?
No, I just uncovered it like right now.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
So what would the goal be? How it all ties together, the moving component of it, the fear component.
The goal is to be cared for, to be supported.
Well, know that you're supported and that there's a whole community of people right now holding the space, visualizing with you and for you. The healing is around that trust issue. And around the tissue anomaly that came about as a result of it. Just about every time that you call into the show, Terry, go back to the show that you called into just as you were heading after your 2-year stint at Heartland, as you were heading to Asheville, and the call you made from the hotel, or just after you left the hotel, where you woke up that morning totally physiologically connected to the presence of love at a depth that you'd just never experienced before. And I look to resonate that, because that's probably part of what's going to produce that tissue healing and the mental emotional healing as well, around being so powerfully connected to love and trust that everything you need is always there for you.
As you speak those words, I can see myself in that space. I can see the space exactly what it looked like. And even though that was in 2010, that was 13 years ago, and still it's just as fresh when it's accessed. It's just as fresh as that the moment that I was talking to you on the phone.
Well, whenever I think of it, it lights up a warmth in me just to remember hearing, you know, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the power of you waking up free of that old demon fear and just being totally connected to love. That was kind of a powerful call. So when you call into the show, that one always runs through my mind.
Nice.
So holding a space for you to be fully connected to the corollary of that experience in the space you're in today. And reaching healing on every level, as well as support and abundance on every level.
Yeah.
And being able to trust that. It's a great section in the Course in Miracles on the development of trust in the teacher's manual, if I remember correctly. That might be a good piece of reading to do.
Are you looking for it or just pausing? You have two more hands.
I was just looking to, on the internet, to tap into it. Development of trust. And this briefly, it is from the teacher's manual. And first one must go through what might be called a period of undoing. This need not be painful, but it's usually so experienced. Seems as if things are being taken away, and it's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is merely being recognized. How can lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where he must see things in a different light? He is not yet at a point where he can make the shift entirely internally, and so the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seems to be external circumstances. These changes are always helpful. When the teacher of love has learned that much, they go on to the second stage. And then that second stage is a period of sorting out. This is always somewhat difficult because having learned that changes in one's life are always helpful, one must now decide. You know, it sounds like you're right in the middle of this one, sir, like you've got this part of the lesson down pat. Decide all things on the basis of whether they increase helpfulness or hamper it. You'll find that many, if not most, things he valued before will merely hinder his ability to transfer what he's learned to new situations as they arise. And that's what I heard you talking about when you were talking about your running around and where you recognize the value of hostility was not had zero to do with your experience, which many people would have found probably quite, would have brought up a lot of frustration. Because one has valued what is really valueless, you will not generalize a lesson for fear of loss and sacrifice. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It is only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value can apply to nothing else. Third stage, they call the period of relinquishment. If this is interpreted as giving up the desirable, it will engender enormous conflict. Few teachers of love escape this distress entirely. There is, however, no point in sorting out the valuable from the valueless unless the next obvious step is taken. Therefore, the period of overlap is left to be one in which the teacher of love feels called upon to sacrifice his own best interests on behalf of truth. He's not realized as yet how wholly impossible such a demand would be. He can learn this only as he actually does give up the valueless. Through this, he learns that where he anticipated grief, he finds happy lightheartedness instead. There's your what you shared with us this morning, what's going on with the car. Happy lightheartedness. Where he thought something was asked of him, he finds a gift bestowed on him. Then comes period of settling down, a quiet time in which the teacher of love rests a while in reasonable peace. Now he consolidates his learning, and he begins to see the transfer value of what he's learned. His potential is literally staggering, and the teacher of love is now at the point in his progress at which he sees in it his whole way out. Give up what you do not want, and keep what you do. How simple is the obvious and how easy to do. The teacher of love needs this period of respite. He's not yet come as far as he thinks. Yet when he's ready to go on, he goes with mighty companions beside him. Now he rests a while and gathers before him, going on. He will not go on from here alone. Next stage is a period of unsettling. Now must the teacher of love understand that he did not really know what was valuable and what was valueless. All that he really learned so far was that he did not want the valueless and that he did want the valuable. His own sorting out was meaningless in teaching him the difference. The idea of sacrifice, so central to the thought system, had made it impossible for him to judge. He thought he'd learned willingness, but now he sees he does not know what the willingness is for. And now he must attain a state that may take some time. He must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. Not each step in this direction is so heavily reinforced it would be hard indeed. And finally, there's a period of achievement. It is here that learning is consolidated. Now what was seen as shadows before becomes solid gains to be counted on in all emergencies, as well as tranquil times. Indeed, the tranquility is the result, the outcome of honest learning, consistency of thought, and full transfer. This is the stage of real peace. For here is heaven's state fully reflected. From here, the way to this community of love is open and easy. In fact, it is here. Who would go anywhere? The serenity is already complete, and who would seek to exchange tranquility for something more desirable? What could be more desirable than this? So thanks for calling in and giving us the first part of the lesson. Gary, with your with what you shared about the traveling around for a light bulb.
Yeah. Well,
that brings an energy to the world, but pretty deeply healing. So appreciation for your healing. And your willingness and your commitment and your dedication, how long you've been rocking at it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Joining you and bringing it into the world and seeing that arm heal and whole. Breathing with you. Any other thoughts for today, Terry?
Nothing's coming up right now. I just enjoying the moment.
Holding the space with you. So, Ms. Jeannie, you've got a hand up?
We actually have three hands up. The first one, I believe, is Rome.
All right.
903, you're on the air.
Well, I'm here now.
Hello? You're loud and clear.
Oh, okay. I thought I put my hand down, but I wanted to say, a couple of things, but, you know, just sending positive energy as I imagine everyone is doing for the gentleman that just spoke, Mr. Terry, there. Something that came to mind, I met an occupational therapist many years ago, and it was a very powerful conversation, essentially. What this therapist was telling me, we were having a conversation about, I don't know, nerve channels or something, and the sciatic nerve came about, and how much havoc it could wreak on a person's life, and just the constant back and forth trips to, you know, whoever they go to, whatever medicine they're getting, and she expressed to me how simple it is, you know. And what she does with her clients, which is, you know, the area that causes many sciatic issues, from her experience, is simply there's a portion of the sciatic nerve that travels through a canal, and what typically happens is it pops out. And it's just a constant, you know, income for, you know, some people. But she says right. that what she does is she just simply massages it back into place. And she teaches her clients where that is and how to do it. And that is the best form of treatment because, I mean, as opposed to, you know, I don't know what it costs, you know, for, you know, treatment, but I imagine it's a lot, and it's a lot of pain that a person goes through. But it's a whole lot more cost effective. And it was like, for me, it was like, wow, you know, just a, doing one's due diligence in their area and sincerely having another's best interest in mind. Goes a long way, and that was super powerful to me, and I really appreciated her for what she did. But anyway, pardon?
Sweet.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, the thought that came to mind with Mr. Terry there is, you know, I think when, you know, having the mindset that he has, you know, and believing that it'll come to be, you know, it could happen, you know, for sure, you know, and as it was mentioned, you know, but also kind of be practical about it. There's steps in between as, you know, it sounds that he understands. And to me, I feel that, you know, what I wanted to share is maybe picking up a anatomy and physiology textbook if, you know, if that's your thing, just a thought, you know. And understanding how those components work around the areas that you're having issues with, not that, you know, you're going to perform any type of surgery yourself or anything, but I think just getting an idea and visualization coupled with, you know, the will for it to be can really magnify
yes.
The direction that you're going in. And if nothing else, as Dr. Rice mentioned, you know, it's like, hey, consult somebody that deals with that. And that could further enrich knowledge and give better direction as to what needs to be done next. So that's all I wanted to share.
Great. Excuse good me. One. Good thought to get a visual picture of what the perfect looks like, too, to hold that is definitely very powerful.
Yes.
Cool.
And since I'm on here, a couple of days, I don't know, my days just run together. I want to say a week ago or so, but maybe it was just a few days. There was a young lady speaking about her grandson and just the troubles that he's having with, you know, just, I guess, extreme hostility is kind of what I took from it.
Right.
And he's college level. It just, you know, I worked at a college for, you know, about 5 years, and I wore many hats as a student developer, but, you know, it made me wonder, you know, I don't know, I'm just wondering, but what are we doing to target, you know, the younger generation, because it just really seems that, you know, I mean, I imagine I'm one end of that, you know, as I'd say, but, you know, it just really does seem that there's a bigger disconnect coming, really kind of driving from the millennials. There's like a diverge to me anyway, it seems, you know, like where extremes come about, and just after that, you know, it's just a totally different generation. So what I was thinking about, you know, it's like there's a lot of great information that's been said here and a lot of wisdom, you know, people that have come across it in a number of ways. And like, wow, even me, like how I stumbled across this, you know, this radio, the website, you know, I haven't even gone as deep as it goes, you know, like I'm still like scratching the surface, but I feel extremely blessed and fortunate, you know. I don't know how many years I was listening to the same seminar, back, I don't know, 70s or 80s, like it's my go-to, you know. And so just to actually come across, you know, Dr. Rice here and, you know, like, wow, like most people that I've reached out to with, I watch a lot of videos. Some of my favorite videos on YouTube seem to be, wisdom that, you know, like seminars and workshops from like the 60s and 70s. And like, it's so powerful that it would seem that they were speaking today, cutting edge technology. And unfortunately, a lot of people that I've reached out to, you know, to see if they're still doing things or they still have, you know, their shops, you know, unfortunately have passed. So I think Dr. Rice is the first person I've reached out to that is still here, and I just feel exceedingly blessed by that. But the corresponding thought there is that, you know, I am, strangely enough, as some people would put it, attracted to such wisdom and knowledge. And it's a little bit different than maybe some other people in my generation. And then when I start thinking those that are coming after me, it's like, wow, I mean, there's a pretty big jump there for them to, like, stumble across this. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but the chances aren't as likely. So my thoughts are like, what are we doing? Because that's the coming, those are the coming leaders and whatnot, and the energies, and there's so much influence in them. It's just a thought. I don't even know if I formulated that right, but it's just a thought. Like, what are we doing to, like, target them and expose them to some of this knowledge? Because I just think that when they lock on, it could be a pretty powerful thing. And
one thought that comes immediately is that since you're acquainted in that arena, perhaps your part of your purpose is going to be to spread the information, take the tools, and make them available to people in that age range. You know, basically, up until 5 years ago when we stopped traveling and moved here to Bristol, Virginia to take care of Jeannie's dad, we literally went anywhere on the face of the globe. We were invited. Our workshops were free. We paid our own expenses, and the idea was just to make it available. We're still in that mindset, although we're not physically traveling. I do have one workshop series in Sarasota that I'm going to be doing that I'm traveling to, mainly because a friend, the physician that's sponsoring it, just really wanted some of his clients to experience some of this work directly. Otherwise, our last workshop on the road was 2019. But I'm always available on Zoom too. So if there are any doors you can open, or anybody, I'm always available for podcasts or live workshops via Zoom. You know, any way that we can take anything we have and make it available. You know, whether it's kindergarten, you know, a few weeks ago we did get to speak to a kindergarten class about forgiveness and functioning as love. So if you have any doors you can open, anywhere to take it, that you can open it, know that we're still available to put it out there. To me, our commitment is to do whatever it takes to make this available to literally, and we mean literally, every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So any role you can play in helping us to do that, we'll be there.
Awesome, and I will certainly keep that in mind moving forward. And, you know, I totally off from what's been said here. It just came to mind. I wanted to express gratitude towards you, and I don't remember the caller's name, but she had asked you something that I had actually thought before, but it was like in the back recesses of my mind. I've sort of suppressed it for some reason. Right. But I don't recall exactly how it came about, but in essence, she asked you how you continue to move forward in this journey, and your response was very powerful, and it was super encouraging, and that is, you know, just a little bit of leaven, I was like, wow, that says it all. I mean, it doesn't say it all to some, but the way you put it, it's like all it takes is a few people, you know? And what's a few, you know? Like, I mean, when you look at the total mass, all the people on the planet, you know, it's a lot, you know, and a little bit is still going to be a lot, but it's a whole lot more powerful. I don't know. Either way, it was just, that was extremely encouraging, and it really helped me to understand how you do keep going on. Because I've wondered, it's like, man, that's a lot of energy you're dispensing, you know? I mean, just being, I understand that, you know, when you are a person that gives off energy and helps people out, I mean, you really need to recharge, take care of yourself. And, you know, from what I've seen, you're doing a lot. You've been doing a lot. And I'm like, man, like, how does he do it? But at you explaining that, I think gave me a charge for years to come. So thank you.
That's awesome. And one of the things I'll offer is that what I'm really clear with is what I do doesn't come from me. Mm. So it does not deplete me. It comes through me. It's an energy that comes through me. And, you know, each person that takes these tools, you know, like Terry shared, an insight, a state of mind, when we realize that in the world of energy, all matter is totally transparent to what happens in the mind. There's nothing in the physical world. Like, you know, if I turn a light on in the room, the walls are dense enough that the light doesn't show up on the other side of the room. If I put a radio wave, start broadcasting a radio signal from here, gee, it passes through the walls, but, you know, 5 miles down the road, it's not available. And what we know now is that the high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought, everything is transparent to it, including time and space. There is no inhibition in it. And so, to me, one of the hopes of this work, and I can remember years ago looking at the amount of drama and trauma and, frankly, the number of crazy, vicious, vile people that were in the world, and I was like, how could this ever be changed? There's so much to be done. And then I, you know, took on the perspective of this physics professor that lived 2,000 years ago, came from Bethlehem, and he said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And each one that engages in a higher level of mind energy, my offering, my take is, literally makes that energy available to every person on the planet, each insight that comes. And the stronger the field of insight becomes, the easier it is for those who have no access to it to begin to become expressions of it. And wow. For me, the verification of that, you may have heard me talk about this before, but this to me is just speaks volumes about what we do with our minds, and that is if you do some research in the area of patents, there are several occasions where a patent was taken out in the United States Patent Office for something unique that had never been seen in the world before. And at the same time, that patent, the same day, was registered in two other countries by people who had never had any contact with the person registering it here. And that's happened several times. When what that says to me, that verifies the whole thesis that if I bring a new level of energy into my mind, if I bring it into the world, it literally, energetically becomes available to anybody who's willing or anybody who's in tune with it. And like states of mind, reinforce those states of mind in others. So the more people we can get to drop, work through, to let loose of the hostility and fear game, and literally bring the active presence of love into a circumstance, you know, a circumstance of a conflict with a child or with a spouse or whatever, to bring active present love in opens the space for that to be brought in more easily by every person on the planet. And so that's one of the motivating factors for what we're doing. So pass it on, please.
For sure. It reminds me of this book called Hurt Map. But, you know, yeah, we're all connected, and I will certainly pass that on. Thank you for what you're doing and what you allow to come through you.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're down to the last 10 seconds. The announcer just informed me, so I'm going to just say thank you for joining us. Please create the best year yet of your eternal life. It is an awesome gift to give the world.